Let's go to Milford Asset Management, and Sam Trethaway is with us. Hi, Sam.
Evening, Larry.
So, Sam, the past week for the local equity market, what are you seeing?
It's been a bit of a bumpy ride for the local equity market over the past week. Trump's $50 billion of trade tariffs have been firmly back in the market's mind. It's created a fair amount of volatility in the past few days, particularly overseas, where the US market actually experienced its biggest weekly rout in the last 2 years. We did see a little bit less volatility locally, but today I think things are looking a bit better. The US market recovered overnight as some of the trade angst eased, and we've actually followed that locally today as well.
And the trade tariffs, how relevant is this issue for local investors?
I think for local investors, it certainly affects market sentiment in the short term, and it's creating some volatility. And I think this may continue to play out for a while yet as the deal negotiations continue. But at this stage, I think in the long term, it's limited. Our market and our companies are a fair way away from what's going on between China and the US. And I think the $50 billion that Trump's talking about may well end up getting scaled back in some stage as he positions against China.
And the corporate news front, what else has stood out for you?
It appears to be another period of CEO resignations in the last couple of days. So we had John Follett at Sky TV announce he is to retire after a massive 27 years with the company. And this follows Fonterra's Teo Spierings last week announcing that he'll move on.
So those two things, so John Follett, was that a surprise?
I think if you'd he had been asked recently if we would likely leave Sky TV in the near term, and he didn't give any indication. But if you are close to the Sky TV story, I don't think it's a surprise. John's been with the company for 27 years, and he's been a content guy. So he's done some great deals for the company in terms of negotiating the rugby rights and other top-tier sport and entertainment, and has done a lot for growing the broader business. But what we've seen in terms of the new competition from Lightbox, Netflix, etc., in recent times is not really his area of expertise, and the company has suffered because of it. So I think the next wee while is an interesting period for Sky TV, and certainly some fresh eyes may be useful to help it deal with it.
Right, so no sign of a replacement yet?
No, not at this stage. It doesn't appear that there's an obvious internal candidate. Follett has given 12 months' notice. So he'll be around for a while yet, and a search has commenced for his replacement. I think the interesting point here is that he has signalled interest in remaining on the company's board. That's typically quite a difficult situation for an incoming CEO, is when you have the previous CEO sitting on the board watching you and providing input and doesn't allow you to have a fresh go at the business. So I'll be careful with Mr. Follett's involvement going forward.
Okay, a lot of experience there, though, and you don't necessarily want it walking out the door, do you?
Yes, I think John has had plenty of time to put a strategy in place for the business, and we're yet to see him have any real answers to what is changing in the environment. The company hosted an investor day yesterday for a bunch of analysts, and there was signs that they are trying to compete differently, but certainly no firm answers to the changes that is going on in the industry. So John may be able to add value to the business going forward via his content negotiating experience, but I think the board needs to look for someone who can contribute to Sky TV with the pace of change that is going on.
And on the other note, this is Fonterra, Teo Spierings, he's going. What do you make of that?
Yeah, after 7 years with the company and joining in 2012, Teo's paycheck is one of the things that does stand out. So $30 million nearly over that seven-year period. And what he has delivered is a strategy of moving the business away from more ingredients-based towards consumer value-added products. And I think the scorecard is mixed. He has certainly restructured and turned some operations around in some of the overseas markets like Europe, South America and the Australian business. But there's also been some big misses, the investment in BeingMate being one, which you saw the other day, and the $405 million write-down at the previous result. The issues they've had with Danone and ignoring the A2 milk opportunity are some of the tougher times that Teo's had to deal with.
Is Fonterra, the co-op, is it in better shape than he found it?
I don't think it's a difficult one to judge. I'd ask whether he was worth the big paycheck. Yes, it's a large company, but when you compare this paycheck to some of the other listed companies, you can come across one or two instances where CEOs have been handsomely rewarded, typically via the equity holdings that they have in the business. So two examples there, Rod Drury at Xero and Jeff Babbage at A2 Milk. And they're on far smaller base packages. So their alignment of interest was far stronger. And they clearly delivered some significant shareholder value there. So while Fonterra is big and complex, it's I think the value creation that Tao has left behind is far more questionable.
Thank you, Sam. Sam Trethaway, Milford Asset Management. It's 6:14.